look at the weather. I think it's supposed to snow today. So if it has anything to do with me, I apologize. But I grew up in Florida, so I don't know if it's my fault or not. But I don't like the snow. I married a woman from Wisconsin. My wife grew up in upper part of Wisconsin. She lived in the upper peninsula of Michigan, so she's very familiar with the cold, and I've learned a few things. I've learned how to shovel, learned how to use a snowblower, learned all of it, and I don't want any part of it. And so I'm so thankful that God has put me in a place. If you look somewhere, if you look at New Zealand, it's actually below the equator. It's closer to Antarctica, though. Christchurch gets snow not very often, maybe once, or I think once a year it could. But at the bottom of New Zealand, I don't know if you knew this, we get penguins. And so we're very, very much of a diverse country. The tropical fruit grows up on the top of the North Island. I don't know why I'm saying any of that. Wasn't planning on it, but it's a unique field. Come visit us. You have free room and board. If you're willing to knock on doors, we'd love to have you. And I don't know how the kids are going to be sleeping yet, but if they have bunk beds, they're yours. I'll find a place for them. Want you to come visit. Want you to help. Just come learn about the country. We would be excited to have you. It'd be our privilege and our honor. We'll find a way to feed you well. Amen. I don't know how good of a cook we can be to you, but we want you to come. I'd ask this if you haven't done that, please take one of our prayer cards. You know, it's been such a blessing to be a pastor last night. Thank you for opening your home to us. And we're looking forward to this afternoon. And I'll never say it's a waste, but friend, if you don't take one of those, man, wow, we drove a long way. We want you to have one of those. We want you to pray for our family. You know, it's kind of comical. I heard a pastor say this once, but it gets a message across. You know, he said, hey, stick it in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, right? Whichever one you open most. Put it somewhere where you're going to see our family and you're going to pray for us. You know, we've lived on the road longer than we've been on deputation. There's reasons for that, but just because we didn't want to build equity, we knew where we were headed. So, but I've seen a lot of things on the road, and it's a dangerous place. And I have two children that I really want to keep. And so, if nothing else, pray for our safety. Pray the Lord to bring in our support. Dr. Sisk, the former director of BIM, I said this once. He said, "You know, when a church supports a missionary, they're not becoming a part of our ministry, but we become a part of their ministry. It's the ministry of the local church to reach people, to plant churches, and so that's God's method, it's God's way, and we're thankful to be here. I know what time it is, and I know you do too. So don't worry. I have a 1-point sermon. Okay, it's not 3 points." Not an illustration and a poem. It's very brief, and I think we'll get done on time today. Open up with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 8. Acts 8. You know, I love Jesus, and I love being saved. I love what I do. There's nothing more that I would want to do in the whole world than be a missionary. People say, "Well, you know, I don't know how you do it. I do it because I love it. I love what I do. I don't necessarily like living in a car, but I don't plan on doing that forever." but I love what I do. And when I think about missions, when I think about evangelism, you know, when I look at our world today, I tell you, friend, we live in the best generation we've ever lived in. I hear it all the time. I hear, you know, this world's going to hell. You know, we're just losing our touch with the ways of the Lord. And you just hear, friend, I don't know if you ever read history. We're doing pretty good, okay, with where we were spiritually as a world. There's a reason they call them the Dark Ages, friend. It's not just because of some of the reasons that they say. But we have more of an opportunity now to reach people with the gospel than we've ever had before. When you think about ways that we can get around the world, friend, I could be in New Zealand within 20 hours. I could hop on a plane in Toronto, stop at LAX, and I could be across the ocean I could do it. In less than a day, I could be in New Zealand. 13 hours across the Pacific, maybe 5 to 7 to get to LAX. But I tell you, with all of our ability, I've heard people giving testimony of sharing the gospel through texting, through email. Wow, what an amazing day we live. You know, with all of that, it's amazing, isn't it, how when it comes to I come from the United States, but when I look at my own country, and I look at all of what we used to do, and I look at the churches, and you say, with all of what we used to do, you know, it's amazing. Here in North America, you know, we're doing less for the Lord than we've ever done before. Why do you think that is? Why would you say that? So, whereas at one point, you know, at one point, we were the United States, we were sending out more missionaries than any other country. We were the country sending out missionaries to places like the Philippines, to places like Korea. What's changed? Why are things so different today? What do you think it is? Is it because as a country, America's turning away from the Lord? And I hope you don't mind me mentioning America. I know everyone is always watching this. I'm ashamed sometimes today to be an American because of what's going on over there, right across the border. We're not getting into politics, don't worry. But still, you know, what's made the difference? What's changed in our churches? I want to look at a story today. We're going to look at the life of a man. Not his life, but what God did with him. You know what I love about this book? God's a good storyteller. Amen? How many of you like a good story? How many of you like to read stories? I'm not a good novel reader. I don't read novels very well, but some people do. I'm amazed at what people can pick up a novel and just read it cover to cover. I'm an academia kind of person. I like to learn things. So if it's fictional, I just get bored. But you know, everyone likes their own type of book. But hey, God can tell a good story, all right? God's the best storyteller in the world. I'll tell you why. Friend, he invented the story. Here's a story in Acts. Here's the neat thing about God, though. The stories that he tells, friend, they're the most exciting thing you've ever read. And believe it, they're all true. When you look at this book in Acts, I tell you, there's some neat things that happen. This is an inerrant book. It's the only inerrant novel I've ever seen, right? It's not a novel. I want to correct that. I was just using it to kind of illustrate. But in this book of Acts, it's a book of history, but it is a story. It's a story of the first churches and what God did with them. And when you look at Acts chapter number 8, we're picking up in this book right here, we're going to pick up with the life of a man named Philip. I want to pray, and then we're going to begin reading. Lord, I've already said it this morning, God, but I want you to work in these services. God, I want you to work through me. Lord, I asked you earlier this morning in prayer, God, I asked you just a moment ago, God, pray you do something with this church. Lord, I'm so excited to see their mission emphasis, all of the missionaries that they support. God, we pray for New Testament Baptist Church that you would put your hand, that you a blessing on this ministry. Lord, speak to us from your word today, we beg. We're asking for your grace now, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. In Acts 8, look at verse number 3. No, verse number 4, we remember now, very brief, Saul had come on the scenes, and you remember the persecution started, they're all scattered, right? Look at verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad, here it is, they went everywhere preaching the word. That's amazing, isn't it? One church is now going to become many churches, many, many churches. Look at verse number 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And friend, I tell you, you could park there. You literally could spend an entire week in that verse because of all that's there. First, who it was. I'll tell you what's neat about this verse and what's going on here isn't only what God is doing. We're going to talk about Samaria, but it's who he's using. We spoke this morning how Paul saw himself for who he was, probably one of the worst people in the world in that time, and yet God used him to do something so great. Philip was a nobody. Friend, Philip, he wasn't one of the apostles. He wasn't someone great in this church at Jerusalem. He was one of the first deacons, yes, but he, if you look at the Bible, friend, he's mentioned one more time, Philip the evangelist, later on in this book. He wasn't anyone special. And you know, God didn't use the apostles in this time to do what? What was it that he did? Philip was the first person to ever share the gospel with somebody who wasn't Jewish, aside from the Lord. He was the first person to lead a Gentile, a Samaritan, who wasn't Jewish, and then in a moment, a Gentile, a heathen who had no Jewish blood, to Christ. Friend, that excites me. Why? Because God chooses the foolish things of the world. We said that this morning. God chose Philip, and friend, God wants to use you. I heard a guy say this one, and he was talking to a young man who said, you know, I just don't know if I'm called. I don't know if the Lord's called me to missions. He said, how about this, brother? I loved it. He said, that's all right. Even if you're not called, if you're not sure, just get on a plane, go over to a country, win some souls to the Lord, plant some churches in front of you, were never called, I'm sure God will forgive you. And the point of that was, friend, I wonder how many missionaries we'd have on the field if instead we wouldn't have this mentality, God, I'll go if you'll send me. How about, God, I want to go. I want you to use my life. If you don't want me to go, you stop me. Friend, if you're in God's will, he'll close the door. If you want to do something that God doesn't want you to do, I promise, friend, if you're walking with the Lord, he'll show you. Why not move forward? Look at we're getting way ahead of ourselves. This is where we want to be in a moment. So look at this verse. What happens? Well, Philip goes down to a city of Samaria. He shares the gospel with these people. They get saved, and the church is planted. These people are growing spiritually, discipling them. Hey, people are being placed in leadership positions of the church. It gets so, the ministry is going so well that news gets back to Jerusalem. And look at verse 14. We look here, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So now the apostles are hearing about this. They can't believe what's going on in Samaria. They want to know more, and they get down there, and sure enough, something that they had never seen before was happening. Somebody that wasn't Jewish had accepted Christ as their Savior. God's stretching them. I don't know if you remember this. All the way back in Luke, I think it's chapter 9. I don't know the verse. But there's something going on in that passage with these two people here, Peter and John. All the other disciples are there with the Lord. One of them said something, and I don't know if you remember what it was and who it was that said it. Jesus was passing through Samaria. There was a city there. And one of the disciples, they looked at the Lord, and they, you know who it was? It was John, the beloved disciple. He comes to Christ, and he says, Lord, shouldn't we just pray down fire from heaven? That it would come and it would consume these Samaritans. That we could destroy these people. Why? They didn't like them. They didn't want to have anything to do with Samaria. And this is a neat passage because of just that. God is growing them. He's starting to open their eyes to what his plan for the world is. And for Peter, it's going to go even further in Acts 10 when he finally sees that sheet coming down, and God opens his eyes to the fact that Cornelius is going to be saved. It's a neat time in the New Testament age here. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. So they go down to Samaria. They say, sure enough, God's doing a great work here. They lay their hands on them to see that. God is in this. For the very first time, a unique thing happens. It has never happened before. As a group of people, it never happens like this again. Samaria receives the Holy Spirit. Those people, the Holy Spirit's indwelling them now. So they go home, and Philip stays there, and it's right about at that point. It's just about right that time, you know, when Philip, he's there, and in his mind, probably there the rest of his life, right? The Bible says later that Philip had some daughters. We mentioned that. He was the evangelist, and he had some daughters. And if you read in those passages, and you start to think right here about Philip, I can see Philip being so excited that God is doing something through him, probably more through him than he's ever done before. And I can see Philip at this point in his life probably saying, you know, you ever been at a place in your life when God was using you more than he'd ever used you before? I've been at those places where I look back and I say, God, wow, are you really doing this? Like, this is so exciting. And I've even thought at those times, this might just be what God has for me the rest of my life. I could just see Philip getting to that pivotal point in his life when God is now reaching Samaria and he's using him to do it. Say, you know, this is probably going to be God's ministry for me to plant churches here in Samaria. I could see him building a home here. I can see him starting to plant roots, and he's building relationships with these people that are definitely going to last the rest of his life, friend. And he's at a place in his life where, like I said, Philip might have thought that God will probably keep me here forever. And it's just at that point, friend, when the ministry, if I could just use that word, if I could just add that in, it's booming. The ministry is just exploding there. This church is growing. People are getting saved. It's the first Samaritan Baptist church buses coming out, you know, and with the donkeys, you know, pulling them. Just you envision that, you know, filling those those carts up with kids, you know, bringing them down to church. And I could, just exciting times, right? Just when things are going well, when the ministry was at its peak, then we read this verse. In Acts 8, in verse number 26, well, we'll read verse 25. We didn't read this earlier. The apostles, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preached the gospel in many of the villages of Samaritans. And it was right here, when everything was going well, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go down toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem." Don't go to Jerusalem, Philip. Go past it. Unto Gaza. And look how Luke puts this. Look how the Lord has him write it. It's so simple, just three words, but he made sure you knew that it was desert. Philip, I want you to leave Samaria now. Philip, I want you to leave this church, all of these people, and for now, at this point, even your family. I want you to leave all of it, Philip, this place, this that you've probably now for a while have called home. This ministry that you've grown to love, these people whom you love serving. I want you to leave everything, Philip. Leave Samaria behind. Drop whatever you're doing, and I want you to go down to the desert. And friend, don't just notice what God was telling him to do. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't tell him what he was going to do when he got there. He didn't give him any information. He didn't say anything. Philip, I want you to leave Samaria and go into the desert. I don't know, friend, if you've been keeping up with the news. If I saw that magazine that Pastor has, Israel for Today. I don't know if you keep up with what's going on in the Middle East. And if you know where Gaza is back in 2005 when all the Jews left there, and then with the battles that were going on recently. But friend, I'll tell you, there's nothing down there. It's a desert. The only thing that's there is nothing grows there. The only thing that's there is people. And I mean, geographically, they probably shouldn't be there either. Nothing can survive there naturally. Philip, I want you to go there. And again, we said, don't just look at what God said, look at what he didn't say, but notice how Philip responds to it. Verse 27. And this is kind of our point for this morning. This is our only thought. And he arose and he went. Philip, leave Samaria. Leave this ministry that I've built through you. Leave all of what you've grown to love and go into the desert. Doesn't tell him anything. And he arose and he went. Didn't ask any questions. It amazes me, friend. I'll tell you. And then this is our thought for this morning. It's not deep. It wasn't meant to be profound, but it's true. You know, if God were ever to call you out of this place, out of Hamilton, Ontario, if God were ever to ask you to do something for him, to go into the desert, friend, there are some spiritually dark places in this world. There are some spiritual deserts out there. You don't have to go into a place that's just a bunch of sand to be in the desert. I tell you, come to Christ Church with me. I mean, there are some people there that really want to know the Lord. I wouldn't be going there if I didn't think God can do a great work. We had a VBS there. You know, we had kids from the community every day in our VBS. We had their parents in church on Sunday. Just because we did a vacation Bible school, I wrote a tract while I was over there. We didn't have any holiday tracts, and I love it. Some of the Americanized spelling in my tract, they knew right away who I was. But we passed out about 7,000 of those. You know, we had visitors in our church more than once just because we passed out gospel tracts. There are people there that are searching for truth. But I'll tell you, it's a dark place. I've had people throw it back in my face. I don't want any rubbish. I was pretty bold. I remember until he finally died recently, New Zealand was the, Christchurch, New Zealand was the only city that I'd ever heard of, first world city. They had their very own wizard. And friend, you might think that's funny. You know, it's comical. Friend, he had the cone-shaped head. He had the long cape. He literally, if he thought you were doing something, some type of work for the Lord, any kind, he would cast spells on you. But here's the whole point of it is, friend, how he survived. He lived there for many years, but he was funded by the offerings of the people of that city. I'll tell you, that'll make you back up a little bit. But I love New Zealand. There's no place on earth. God will give you a love for the people he wants you to serve. Friend, there's not a place in the world I'd rather be than New Zealand. except here, because that's where the Lord has us this morning, amen? But I'll tell you, friend, there are some spiritual dark places, but if God were ever to call you into the desert, you know what he really wants? Do you know what he's really looking for? He wants my obedience. Amen. He wants me to obey him. And again, I said I knew the time. The question was this. Do you remember the question? Whereas at one point we were sending out more missionaries than any other country in the world. It's amazing, isn't it? When it comes to the United States, so many times now it looks like we'll be taking the back row seat to countries like the Philippines. You know, when I was in Papua New Guinea, I met missionaries from Korea. Could you believe that? Could you believe they're sending out their own missionaries now? Places all over the world. We'll be taking, why? What has changed? And I'll tell you what the answer to that question is. And friend, you can answer it many ways, I'm sure, but I believe it's because of this, because the churches, when you think about churches, the people in our churches, so many times we've lost that ability. We've forgotten what it means to step out by faith and to start moving forward. You know, it's biblical. I went to Bible college, and you know, I'll just go ahead and end with this. I was in Bible college many years ago. Well, I'm only 30, so for me it was many years ago, and I'll be 31 in like a week, so I remember when I left the 20s behind. I'm getting off track here. Just a depressing time in my life, but I'm no longer 29. I'll never be in the 20s. I'm in the big 3-0. I'll be 31 in a few weeks. But I remember all those years ago, back in before I graduated in 2010 from Bible college. You know, I remember there'd be people that you'd meet at college, and those freshmen that come in, hey, someone else that was wanting to serve the Lord with their life, they were giving themselves over to the Lord, they were coming and they were going into the ministry. I was excited. Why? Because I knew that's what God was doing with my life, and I would ask him, I'd say, hey, friend, what do you think that God's been speaking to your heart about? Hey, what do you want to do for the Lord? And as a freshman, many of them, they come to me the same, and I didn't know what I was doing, you know. Oh, I don't know, friend, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Not a thing wrong with that in the world. But you come to them in their junior year. Well, you're studying for the ministry? Are you going to be a pastor? Do you think God's going to use you in missions? What's has God been speaking to your heart? I'm just waiting on God. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, I went to graduate school. Many reasons for that when I graduated. But when I was in graduate school, some of those same faces, and but you'd ask them by now. I mean, sure enough, what do you think? Why are you in seminary? What's God going to do with your life? And friend, I don't know, maybe God will use me as a Christian school teacher. Maybe God will put me in the ministry one day. I'm just being still and waiting on the Lord. And you understand, friend, there's nothing wrong with waiting on God. But and I'm saying it so quickly, but you get to know a person like that. And they're just waiting. What he's really saying is, I'm not going to do anything. Why? Because until God lays out that red carpet, and he begins to show me everything he has for me, what his direction for my life is, friend, I'm not doing anything. They've, in a sense, they've made it their life first, be still and know that I'm God. And until God will show them everything and bring it to them on a silver platter, they're not going to do anything for the Lord. And friend, a person like that, they'll be waiting the rest of their life. Because God wants us to step out by faith. And he wants us to start moving forward. I promise you, friend, if you will do that, if you'll say, God, I'm going to move forward with whatever you think God might have for you. You're not sure? Hey, start moving forward here in this ministry. Hey, get involved in the Sunday schools. Hey, start knocking on some doors. Start getting involved. Hey, you move forward. Watch what God does. Amen. We have just a moment, and I'll close with this. I said I wasn't going to give you a story. I'll give you a Bible story. How's that? Do you remember in Acts 16, Pastor Boersma mentioned it this morning. Brother Boersma, Acts chapter 16. You remember the story? Paul was he was sent out of that church at Antioch, and three missionary journeys, right? Here's his second one. He had already gone to these churches in Galatia, Lystra, and Derbe, and he's Galatia, Lystra, and Derbe, planted these churches. Now he's going to come back and review the churches, check on them. This is where Timothy comes on the scene, if you know where we are in the book of Acts. But after this, do you remember what happened? Do you remember what happened in the verse that followed that at the beginning of the chapter? Paul had visited all these churches. The Bible says that Paul wanted to go into a new phase of ministry. Remember he wanted to go into Asia. Do you remember the story? He wants to go into Asia, and it's right there in that verse that he set his eyes toward Asia, and he says, you know what, there's no churches over here. These people haven't received Christ. They've never had the gospel. I want to go into Asia, the Lord. And I can just see him praying about that and beginning to move forward. The Bible says that the Spirit wouldn't let him go into Asia. And so God closed that door in his life. Do you remember what happened next? The very next thing that happened in that passage, that as when God said no to Paul in Asia, the very next thing you find him doing, that the Bible says, as he knew that God didn't want him in Asia, he essayed to go into Bithynia. He said, okay, God, I know you don't want me in Asia right now. I know this isn't what you have for me, but Bithynia, you know, Lord, they don't have churches there. The people aren't receiving the gospel. There's no missionaries there, and so I'm going to go into Bithynia. He essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered him not. You know, Paul wanted to go to Bithynia. He started moving forward. God closed that door in his life. What happened next? The very next thing in that passage, you find Paul doing, and notice what you don't find, though, in that passage. You don't find God telling him what to do next. You don't find anything except that you find Paul going passed by Mysia, and he comes down to a port city on the coast of the Aegean Sea, just a little tiny town there called Troas. And how many of you know your Bible? You know that city, that little city right there, just happened to be the very city where one night late, while he's sleeping on his bed, that God sends forth a vision to this man, Paul, where he received that vision from a man that was right across the water in Europe, in Macedonia, and he says, come over into Macedonia and help us. And he says, we need someone to come share the gospel. And Paul becomes the first missionary to ever go into Europe, first missionary to ever be on that side of the world, all because every time God closed a door in his life, Paul was trying other doors. And friend, if you want to find out what is God's will for my life in this area of missions, I'll encourage you, friend, hey, try doors. And let God begin to work in your life. Hey, let's close in a word of prayer as pastor comes. Lord, I love you. And we're asking now that, Lord, you'd work in this time, that you'd search our hearts. Lord, I don't know what you've spoken to your people about. God, I don't know what you've been dealing with. Lord, I don't know anything about what's going on in the hearts of these people. But God, you know. And you know exactly what you've been dealing with, maybe even long before this service. Lord, we're asking for your blessing now that you'd speak to hearts. And this time we pray this in Jesus' name. It's all